All right, welcome back to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., where I'm encouraging you to join me, heart and soul, with a look into climate. And I'm hoping that we can make this a time when we listen because we truly value our climate. I'm going to take a look at some information from Climate Progress, Think Progress. And I think you may find this encouraging, especially if you just want to know the truth about where we are with regards to ways of taking care of our climate. How many climates do we have, by the way? Do we have enough climates that we can go ahead and abuse the one that we are aware of? Do we need to make sure that we are doing everything in our power to take care of our climate? When the Environmental Protection Agency published a rule to reduce carbon emissions from power plants last year, critics said that the plan was too economically costly for businesses and home electricity bills. That's one of the big arguments that people who are opposed to taking care of our environment, taking care of our climate, really like to put forth year after year after year after year. It will be too costly for businesses. But now there's a new study led by researchers from Harvard University that finds that nearly all regions of the U.S. stand to gain economically from a power plant carbon standard like the Clean Power Plan, and do so fairly quickly. They benefit, they gain economically, and the gain comes fairly quickly. Now, don't listen with your emotions. You know, those of you who are opposed to doing what we can to improve our climate, to improve our environment, because you really do want to go ahead and let companies continue to put out the emissions that pollute the air. You want them to go ahead and continue to put out the things that pollute the water. Because that's really what it comes down to. You may not look at it that way, but that's exactly what it comes down to. Every time we argue in favor of letting businesses continue to do what they do with regards to climate and environment, we're saying, let them continue to pollute the water. Let them continue to pollute the land. Let them continue to pollute the air. It would be very interesting to find out the real reasons that so many people, including many, many citizens of America the Beautiful, who are not at all in on these levels, corporate levels. I mean, I'm not just talking about people who are corporate executives of these companies. We the people argue against taking steps and having business people take steps to make our air, our water, our land cleaner and safer. It'd be interesting to find out the real reason that so many people prefer to have the waters, the air, the land continue to be polluted. Well, using a scenario that somewhat resembles the Clean Power Plan, or the CPP, Clean Power Plan, CPP, a policy moderately stringent and highly flexible, researchers calculated net benefits of approximately $38 billion each year, according to a study that was published in the online journal Plus One. Roughly $38 billion a year net benefit. So we're not just talking about how things look on the surface, and then after you take away everything else, you're really left with a different number. This is the net benefit. Health benefits would outweigh the estimated cost of the carbon standard in their study for 13 out of 14 power sector regions within 5 years of implementation. It's interesting that even when you bring subjects like this up, benefits like this. There are a lot of people who still are upset about the idea of asking business leaders to take steps to reduce emissions so that health of the people, so that the health of the citizens of America can be improved. They're still upset about the idea of saying reduce the emissions. Health benefits would outweigh the estimated cost of the carbon standard within 5 years of implementation. And that's even though they only looked at a subset of the total benefits. According to Jonathan Buoncanor, who's a lead author and research associate at the Center for Health and the Global Environment at Harvard's Public Health School, the one region that benefits less is the Pacific Northwest. And that's because the burden to air quality from electricity generation in that region is fairly low compared to the rest of the country. The states there rely more heavily on hydroelectric plants and have less to do to comply with the CPP. Other regions that include states like West Virginia or Ohio rely more on fossil fuel electricity, meaning there's more carbon pollution to cut. Buoncanor said that the region that encompasses West Virginia, Ohio, and Pennsylvania benefits the most from lower power plant emissions. Those states experience the greatest improvement in air quality, and they also have a reasonably high population. So there are a lot of people who will experience health benefits due to the implementation of the carbon standard. And those three states together have about 25 million people. Fossil fuel-fired power plants make up about 31% of U.S. greenhouse gas emissions, 31%, largely carbon dioxide emissions. And reducing carbon dioxide emissions from power plants can have public health co-benefits, according to the study, by simultaneously decreasing sulfur dioxide, nitrogen oxides, ozone, and particulate matter emissions. Those are the tiny particles that can make their way into the heart and lungs and harm the heart and lungs. When you think about it, ladies and gentlemen, just thinking about the health benefits that we've already looked at, heart and lungs being harmed less, which means people breathe better. Do you think that is a bad thing to ask these business leaders to significantly reduce their emissions, the emissions of their companies? Do you think that that's truly a bad thing? Do you think it's sinful? Let's start it there. Do you think it's sinful to ask them to reduce their emissions to the point where people's health is significantly improved? Do you think that it is unethical to ask these business leaders to make these significant reductions in their emissions? Do you think that it is illegal to ask them to make these reductions? Do you think that from a moral standpoint, it might actually be good to reduce the emissions? Or do you think that from a moral standpoint, it's really better to maintain the current level of emissions and continue to jeopardize the health of we the people? What do you really believe is best? What is right? Which is morally superior to the other? Continuing to maintain the current level of emissions and have a negative impact on people's health, or reduce those emissions and improve people's health? And keep in mind, this isn't about coming up with the lesser of two losing situations, because remember, we're hearing this over and over again. At some point, the businesses that invest in whatever it takes to make their companies cleaner also benefit financially down the road. because they began to spend less money meeting their plant's energy needs. So they save money. They help improve the quality of air, the quality of the land, the ground, the quality of the water, and in so doing, help improve people's health. So tell me this, with the businesses saving more, eventually getting to the point where they're saving more than they spent, and from there on out, they'll continually save more and more. The savings just build and build and build. So since the companies are on the winning side financially, they end up on the winning side financially, since our air, our ground, and our water end up on the winning side because they're cleaner, and the people end up on the winning side because we're healthier, what do you see as being the loss? Who loses and how? The study analyzed the anticipated health co-benefits of a power plant carbon standard that would achieve a 35% reduction in carbon dioxide emissions by 2020 through cleaner fuels, energy efficiency, emissions trading, and other measures. Researchers didn't calculate the direct health benefits due to climate change mitigation, such as fewer heat-related illnesses, reduction in extreme weather, and avoided increases in vector-borne diseases. Although Buonocore said that creating such a study is on their wish list, still, even without quantifying those factors, he said that approximately 3,500 lives could be saved every year with a power plant carbon standard. 3,500 lives. Since everyone wins, do you think that it is a bad thing that these 3,500 lives would be saved? Do you think that it's a good thing? Do you think that it is neither good nor bad that 3,500 lives would be saved every year? 7,000 lives saved in 2 years because of these changes. 10,500 lives saved in 3 years. The health burden of electricity generation is about 17,000 lives a year. Research has repeatedly shown that improved air quality is associated with health benefits such as fewer premature deaths, fewer heart attacks, and fewer hospitalizations from respiratory and cardiovascular illnesses. Now, be honest with me. Do you think that that reduction in heart attacks, the reduction in premature deaths, the reduction in hospitalizations from respiratory and cardiovascular illnesses is worth asking our business leaders to take the steps necessary to reduce their emissions, knowing that in a reasonable amount of time, they're going to be saving more than they will have spent in order to make those changes? The Clean Power Plan, which is a cornerstone of President Obama's climate change initiative, calls for reductions in carbon emissions from the electricity sector by 32% over 2005 levels in the next 15 years. So we're not even talking about go from here to there overnight. He's giving the business leaders time to phase these changes in, to make it affordable even up front, so that by the time everything is fully phased in, a lot of these business leaders will have begun to see a change with regards to their financial status. They may have begun to see some of the savings that they will get by the time all of this is phased fully in. The rule sets emission standards and guidelines while allowing states to decide how to comply. He has given the states a lot of say-so here. The Supreme Court put the rule on hold in February as various states objected to it, including West Virginia and Ohio, two coal-dependent states that have long opposed the plan, but the study now finds would benefit the most. One of the biggest problems that we have is that very often people fight against what they know is good and right. And they come up with some of the most interesting reasons to justify fighting against what they know is good and right. West Virginia and Ohio would benefit the most from these changes. Let's see if those state leaders will eventually change their positions, or will they hold tight? According to the study, the highest costs of $1.5 to $3.6 billion a year are projected for the Midwest, the Mid-Atlantic, and the Southeast regions under the central cost case. Those same regions also have among the greatest benefits, ranging from $1.7 billion to $5.6 billion. Again, highest cost for these regions, $1.5 billion to $3.6 billion. The benefits, ranging from $1.7 billion to $5.6 billion. So the highest cost, the low end of that range is 1.5. For the benefits, the low end of the range is 1.7. So already we see a benefit that outweighs the cost. On the high end of the cost range is $3.6 billion. On the high end of the benefit range, it is $5.6 billion. Quantifying emission reductions in power plants is not unprecedented, but this is the first study of its kind to break down the costs and the benefits by sub-region. Well, in September, the courts will be debating what will happen with the Clean Power Plan. Again, based on what we're hearing and reading more and more and more about the benefits of taking the steps necessary to make our air, our ground, and our water cleaner and safer. Do you really think that that's a bad thing? To have clean air, clean grounds, clean water, and healthier people. Is that a bad thing? And again, since it is being proven over and over and over that regions on the state level and businesses benefit financially through the savings that they achieve by cleaning up our act, what is truly bad about it?